never daunted, we cannot falter. In the battle, we're tried and true.
Welcome, everybody, to the Indiana Basketball Weekly Show on the Gruley True Sports Network. Remember to check out BetMGM if you want to bet on the game Sunday afternoon between Indiana and Northwestern. You can click on the link in the description down below on YouTube to do that. But let's go ahead and get started. Nothing going on this week, but Indiana will be battling Northwestern on Sunday in a big game for both teams. Today, we're going to preview that game, where we're going to look a little bit forward to the offseason and how Indiana might construct this roster differently going into next season. But I would like to welcome in my co-host, as always, Brian Moore from the Got Woodson Facebook page. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. Getting closer to the weekend.
All right. And you don't have a job anyways. What's the difference if it's the weekend?
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. You're retired in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're in a waiting room for heaven. All right, guys.
And we know what you are. Yeah.
I don't know where that's going, but I don't like it. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to welcome in a special guest today from Hoosier Illustrated, Alec Lastly. How you doing, Alec?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
All right. And we have good news and bad news. It's good news for Sunday's game, but overall it's bad news for Northwestern. And that's Ty Berry, who has a torn meniscus, Alec, who is out for the season. And that's devastating for the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. He was obviously having, you know, a career year, but outside of just him, what he was doing individually, I mean, he brought another presence to that really, really strong perimeter game that Northwestern has, the non-traditional kind of really kind of smaller three-guard lineup that they go with. But, I mean, that's a big, big hurdle that obviously moving forward just for Northwestern as a team that has – definitely aspirations to not only make the NCAA tournament, but to go on in advance and make some sort of run. That's extremely devastating for what they were trying to do. Just because, again, could shoot the ball, could create off of the dribble, was a really hard-nosed kind of glue guy that I think all Northwestern fans were really excited to kind of see blossom this year after taking kind of much more of a reserve role for the majority of his career, obviously behind, you know, a lot of the really good guard play that they've had over the last three, four seasons. So really devastating for that aspect. But obviously, when you look at it from an Indiana perspective, just one less person that they have to guard on the perimeter, especially with his ability to shoot the three ball.
Yeah, him and Boo Booey, they could definitely play. And the other concern here for Northwestern is they look like a tournament team right now, but they've got to play Rutgers tonight at Rutgers without Berry. Then they've got to come to Indiana to play Indiana. And the other thing about losing Berry, Alec, is that will hurt them come tournament seeding time or just getting into the tournament, because factors like that are put into the equation when they're seeding out the teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you really want to see them build off of what they've been able to do over the last couple of games here. Obviously got hurt, I think it was two games ago, against Nebraska, were able to get the win over Penn State. Last time out, albeit obviously a close one nonetheless. But look, I mean, they've been inconsistent at best over the last kind of month and a half. So finishing up strong, they have four games, I think, coming up on the road. So they're going to be tested. We know obviously how difficult it is to win on the road in Big Ten play, even just anywhere around the country, but especially in Big Ten play. So they're going to be tested. And these next two games on the road are really going to, I think, show if this team is ready to kind of take that next step, or if they are a team that's still kind of searching for some sort of identity there without Ty Berry.
Yeah, and when you look at this game for Indiana, Brian, the scary thing is the scouting report on Northwestern is they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. And on top of that, they don't hurt themselves. Their offensive turnover rate is one of the lowest in the country. Both of those things do not make this look like a good matchup for the Hoosiers.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Berry's going to be a help for us, obviously, because he won't have to worry. Their best three-point shooter. Is that right, Alec?
Yeah, Ty Berry, yeah, he's shooting about 45% from three there.
So, I mean, that gives us some help, but, I mean, based on our perimeter play, it's still going to be a long day. As long as they've got Bowie in there, Northwestern's always going to have a chance. I'll be interested to see how the perimeter play is at home against Northwestern, because that will be the key factor in this game.
Yeah, and the scary thing here is, Alec, even when they're defended, they make difficult threes. So it's not like if you play great defense, it's still no-brainer to shut them down, because that's simply not been true for most teams that have played them this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, they're one of the best moving teams without the ball because they do have so many good shooters. But they're also able to create off of the dribble as well, do a phenomenal job kind of creating space there, whether it is off of ball screen action or just one-on-one, obviously with Boo Booey and what he's able to do and really create extra space when he does get into the paint, drawing mostly at times two or three different defenders, able to kick that out for open looks. But, I mean, when you look at the perimeter play just from top to bottom, even without Ty Berry in there, you still have four guys shooting over 40% in conference play from three, obviously led by Boo Booey, but guys who can stretch the four, guys who play a little bit of that small ball four. Brooks Barnheiser obviously has had a terrific season. One of the more underrated players, I think, in the conference this year, and what he's been able to do from the, you know, his previous time there at Northwestern, really stepping up in kind of that kind of hybrid forward role, but really able to stretch the floor there. And then again, you just have multiple guys who can shoot from the perimeter, and that's, you know, Indiana's had success at times guarding the perimeter, but over the last, you know, four, five, six games, right, we've seen that early success in Big Ten games really kind of stumble and really hit its tipping point, I think, over the last, you know, three games here with obviously what Purdue's been able to do, what Penn State came into Assembly Hall and did. And then, you know, I think the one probably outlier there is that Ohio State game when they really struggled. But obviously we've seen what happened with Ohio State over the last 2 months. So outside of that, I mean, they've really struggled for the most part over the last month to defend that perimeter.
Yeah. So when we look at this game, Brian, do you expect Indiana to do anything differently? Because there's very few times where we've done anything differently, for lack of a better term. But I don't see how you can play your normal game here.
No, I'd like to say there's going to be a different lineup, but, you know, honestly, I'd like to see Gunn start. I think it would be a little bit more of a matchup nightmare for Northwestern, but because I really think Gunn, if he could get his offense going, I think his defense is still one of the better ones in our backcourt, but he's so inconsistent. It's like, which guy are you going to get? You just never know.
Yeah, but in the inconsistency from the fact that he'll play for like 5 minutes, they'll pull him out for 10 and put him back in for three, and the guy's a guard who wants to shoot the ball. It's really hard to get in any kind of rhythm when you're not getting consistent playing time, or when you got to worry about being taken out after a couple minutes.
Well, the lineup be shortened up. I mean, we've seen that in the last several games. So let's just hope he gives him more minutes than he's been given. I mean, he gave him enough minutes to really showcase what he can do in the second half. Granted, it was pretty much the game was over by that time, but you know, his stroke is very smooth. I really think if he can get a lot more minutes, I think we might see a lot more out of CJ, and I'm hoping that's what we get.
All right, Alex, what's your take on CJ?
Yeah, you know, I agree, right? I mean, early in the season, when he got into the game, right, he was hunting shots, which was great because there was no other player on this roster that was, you know, a high-volume shooter, a guy who wanted to take perimeter shots. But we always saw, right, when, you know, one or two misses and he gets pulled. And shooters need to find some sort of rhythm to be able to have that consistency and have that flow. And I think you saw that in Purdue. He knew he was going to be on the floor for, you know, a large portion of that second half. So we kind of let the game come to him a little bit more, hit one or two shots in transition there, kind of got his feet settled in, and then started to attack the basket off of the dribble, had a couple nice pull-ups. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing for CJ Gunn, which you guys kind of just hit on, is I think you definitely need to play him extended minutes, play him through any sort of mistakes that you're going to get, because it's clear that, you know, no one is playing consistently enough to earn 35 minutes a game, probably outside of, you know, Trey Galloway at times, right, Malik Renu. But outside of that, I mean, I think that the thing that I'm struggling with is starting CJ Gunn. I think you can still play him the amount of minutes. I don't necessarily know if you need to start him I think you still need, especially against a decently efficient, right, Northwestern defense that it does create a lot of turnovers. You don't want the game to get away from you right at the beginning. And I think if you have one less ball handler on the floor, that's going to take IU out of what they're trying to do offensively. Not to say that, Gabe Cupps is terrific at getting the offense into sets and getting players open, but he has done at least a solid job of limiting live ball turnovers from his perspective. So I think, again, kind of let the game get settled in, get the fans that are obviously going to be there, get them into the game, have a good start, which they've been able to do, bring in CJ Gunn, still play him. I think you got to give him at least 20 minutes in this one because of his two-way ability, and let him get settled in and go from there and see how the game works at that point.
So have we heard anything about Xavier Johnson and his status?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, right, I mean, what, there's six, seven games left here in the season. I think you're still looking at probably another couple of weeks before he's going to return to the floor. Still has that, you know, pretty significant brace on his elbow. Moving forward, I think you still move forward with the expectation that, you know, you may get him for the last game or two. I would assume that they will, regardless, try to get him back on the floor for senior night. If not, you know, maybe a game or two before that. But I think you're still going the next, you know, 3-4 games with him sidelined.
All right. So my question is this. I watch most of Coach Wuss's press conferences after games. They all drive me nuts because they're all the same. But he did make a telling comment, Alec, in this last one. And that was right after the game. He made the comment, we need to add some pieces. And I think that has been obvious. And what's your confidence level that those pieces will get added in the off season?
Yeah, I mean, that's
should I ask Brian now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest question mark, right? I mean, everyone knows who Indiana needs to go get. That's perimeter play, that's guard play, and need to add multiple playmakers. They needed to do that last offseason and obviously targeted a lot of those guys, but were unable to land any of them. This year, right, you know, this offseason, you don't have the excuse of bringing back a six-year point guard, which I think, again, going into this year, it was a massive mistake not trying to at least add another ball handler for this specific reason, right? I mean, Xavier Johnson, mm-hmm. in his time with Indiana, has struggled with injuries. So you know what you're going to get out of him. His inconsistent play has obviously always been an issue as well. Their inability to land someone through the portal, you know, again, not to beat a dead horse, but has been one of the major reasons why this team has struggled so much from game to game and from half to half, because they don't have someone who can literally just go get their own offense and create off of the dribble the way that all these other teams around the country do have. So it's going to be interesting. There's obviously going to be players who will want to come to IU and have the ability to come in and start right away, in my opinion. I don't think anyone should be afraid, and this is no knock right on Gabe Cupps or Trey Galloway even, but no player should be afraid of Trey Galloway in the starting lineup, because one, he is so versatile. You can play him both on and off the ball, but two, I think if he does choose to use his COVID year and come back, he would be okay coming off the bench and playing more in that Will Sheehy type of role when those Indiana teams were so good back in the day, right? I mean, he has that ability to impact the game whenever he does step on the floor. And when he was at his best last year, he was, you know, a third, fourth, fifth option on that team. And unfortunately, right, we just have not seen him take that step up in terms of being able to be a 1A or a 1B type player. He's done it in spurts, but just has not had that consistency. So you're always going to have the front court players at Indiana. I think that's obvious. As long as Mike Woodson's there, you're going to have all Big Ten caliber, you know, 3, 4, 5 type players. But, you know, Jalen Huchefino is the one outlier in the last decade almost of Indiana guards who have been able to create their own offense. And that's the biggest thing that has really held Indiana back over the last 10 years is their inability to land and develop really, really good perimeter play and guys who have that ability to create instant offense without, you know, anyone helping them. And that's right. That's the thing that they need the best.
Do you think, Alex, did he aim too high last year in the portal? You know, I mean, there's some very high-level guys that he went after. Dalton Nick was one of them. I forgot the other guy's name. But did he just aim too high for the fences last year, and that's why he wasn't able to pick those guys up?
Yeah, I mean,
the type of guys you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you have to aim high. I think they put too much in very limited selections, though. I mean, Dalton Connect, Jordan Dingle, even, you know, the Caleb Love talk for a little while, right? But there's thousands of players in the transfer portal. And again, you didn't have to go get it would be phenomenal, right, if they had Dalton Connect right now. I think everyone in their right mind would take that. But there's also a ton of mid-major players who can come in and make an impact, whether it's off the bench, whether it's, you know, playing 15, 20 minutes a game. That you've seen not only in the Big Ten, but across all of college basketball. You are going to probably swing and miss on a little bit more of those guys just because you don't know exactly how that'll translate. But we've seen it enough times now where guys come from the mid-major level and are an instant impact in whatever their role is. And that's the thing. They just don't have consistent scoring or consistent playmaking that you need in order to compete, just not only in the Big Ten, but just anywhere in any kind of conference nationally. Well,
and I think we've seen it just in the state with Lance Jones at Purdue and the Swoop kid at Indiana State. Those are, I mean, if you get the Swoop kid here, you would be set. We'd probably be talking about going to the NCAA tournament. Instead, we're chasing after a Caleb Love. And my point is this, you get a star from a mid-major, you're getting a kid that is looking to prove himself. If you get a kid coming from North Carolina, Kansas, or Michigan, they're trying to make more money, probably more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, look, they are, and again, they've also, you know, I thought just the Caleb Love experience was never really going to work out for Indiana, so I thought that was a player that they definitely should not have wasted any time on. I just think they've really struggled to prioritize the backcourt, and they'll either get into recruitments too late. You can go even across, you know, high school as well, right? They've had numerous opportunities to land significant playmaking guards and just have not been able to do that outside of Jalen Huchefino. So, you know, I think that's the biggest need for this team. I would love to see, you know, McKenzie Mbako come back and play him more as that kind of hybrid stretch four and play smaller and quicker with Malik Renew at the five. Because I think, you know, everyone expects Khalil Ware to move on after this season. You know, we'll see what happens right in the Derrick Queen sweepstakes there in the 2024 class. But, you know, I think the biggest thing for them is they need to create more floor spacing. And by doing that, right, you go with three ball handlers, three shooters on the floor. Not all of them have to be, you know, like Northwestern 40%+ shooters. But at this point, you know, you have one guy, in McKenzie Mbako over the last month and a half, who's actually showcased the ability to knock down some outside shots. And that's obviously not at a high enough clip. So you really need to get three, four guards who can then rotate in and play almost positionless in the backcourt. And be able to play faster, quicker, more up tempo, because that's not only going to help you in the Big Ten win some games, but again, if Indiana's trying to compete nationally, there's a reason why the Big Ten struggles in conference or out of conference in major games and in the NCAA tournament, because they play a much different style of basketball than anywhere else in the country, and they seem to be almost reactionary to when teams go on runs, as comparison to some of these other programs who create the runs themselves and create the action and force those other teams to react to them. And I think that's the biggest downfall for Indiana from that last year to this year, where they really, really were able to react at a much better clip last year.
Yeah, and the last team with a great point guard was Michigan State with Mateen Cleaves, which is the last time a Big Ten team won a championship. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I was just asking, you mentioned Derrick Queen. What's the word on the street? Why is this taking so long?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is for him, right, he wants to come in and play immediately. He wants to see what these rosters are going to look like. And, you know, style of play is extremely big for what you would want going to the next level, especially as a big man. Yeah, I think the longer this continues to drag out, the less likely he ends up at Maryland. I think Indiana's always had the best pitch to him because, again, how they've been able to develop big guys, how they've been able to put those big men in really, really positive positions. I mean, you look at Malik Renew, his development this year, obviously Trace Jackson Davis last year, Khalil Ware, the ability to get him playing at a much different level than what a lot of people expected him to play at. They've been able to do that. And I think, again, if you're going to prioritize, you know, forwards and front court players, there's probably no other place you would want to go around the country than IU, because they continue to put the ball in their fours and their fives hands and make them, you know, kind of will Indiana to a win. And you just don't get that at Maryland. But I think at this point, you're probably going to see a decision after the season. And he'll be a late commitment there, probably at the end of March.
All right. Robert Stewart asks, why was the last scholarship not used? That's the million-dollar question, by the way.
I wish I had the answer for that one. I think that was the most head-scratching. Again, when you have a guy like Xavier Johnson, who's had injury issues, and injuries happen to, you know, every team in the country, right? You're in the minority if you go through a season and don't suffer some sort of injury to a key rotational player, whether that's for one or two games, whether that's for a month, whatever the case may be, right? And you can never have enough.
Look at Northwestern right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can never have enough depth to a certain extent, right? You still need talent. You can't just throw players out there and expect to have the same results, which I think was kind of what Indiana struggled with this offseason, and adding pieces just to add pieces. I don't think, you know, a lot of these front court players really meshed well together, especially coming off the bench with Peyton Sparks and Anthony Walker. And so you just come with not a versatile team in any capacity. And that's why you really see them struggling. But I have no idea why they didn't use it, especially in the day and age where guys can go ahead and transfer, you know, almost two or three times and be eligible immediately. You know your roster is going to turn over almost 5, 6, 7 players every single season. So this is only a one-year scholarship. This is not something where you expect it to be a guy who's going to just be at the end of the bench for 4 seasons. If you don't like the way that he fit after 1 year, it's happened before, and coaches aren't going to stop doing that. They will push players out. So it was an issue that I definitely don't know why they did not add at least one more player in any role.
Yeah. Do you think, Alec, having two seniors, I think that, you know, we all thought Xavier was going to be back in the starting point guard. You know, everybody in the world thought that. Trey Galloway was going to be the other starting guard. Do you think that hurt Indiana as far as getting the talent of guard they'd like to have gotten last year?
I mean, maybe a little bit. But again, if guys are scared to come and try to compete against, you know, Trey Galloway and Xavier Johnson, who, right, outside of maybe 20 games toward, you know, the end of his first season there, Xavier Johnson wise, and maybe a couple games before the injury last year, you know, he really didn't prove himself as a top point guard in this conference. And so you didn't really know what you were getting with either of those guys, right? I mean, Trey Galloway had never proven to be a guy who could carry a team offensively from game in and game out. Xavier Johnson was never a guy who showed he could play consistent minutes from game to game and get a high level of performance from him. I think there was just too much of an emphasis on one or two guys, and they just kind of boxed out the rest of the potential options that were out there. Because again, there's thousands of players in the transfer portal every single year, and I think they tried to settle on, you know, just a few guys when they could have broadened those searches.
All right, so what's your take on the coaching staff at Indiana? And I'm not talking about Woody. I'm talking about the assistant coaches, because what I see does not impress me a whole lot, if you know what I mean, during games. I mean, it looks like the only guy that's going to coach this team is Woody during the game, and that is concerning, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is sometimes the inability to react and adapt to certain situations, specifically when it comes to the coaching staff, right? I mean, outside of, you know, I'm trying to think, probably that Louisville game earlier in the season, right? There wasn't a lot of change when it came to any sort of defensive performance, right? It was, you know, just man on man and try to hold your guys to some sort of limited performance. Overhelp way too much, and you know that I just don't think they have a great ability to adapt. They do a really good job when they do have the lead, and that's why, right, when they do go into the half with the lead, even if a team does make a strong second half run, right, they've typically done enough to, you know, fend off any sort of second or third run, just due to the fact that they were up at the half, right? But I think once they fall behind, because they aren't explosive enough on offense, they don't know what to do, and they can't get enough stops to create easy offense because they're not quick enough in transition. And if you're not getting stops, you can't get out in transition. And if you're not getting in transition, you can't get, you know, quick, easy buckets without the defense getting set. And their half-court offense is at times abysmal and really a struggle to watch. I think the best I ever saw in Indiana this season was probably the first six or seven possessions against Purdue. The way that they moved the ball the second game, yeah, last weekend, yeah. Their ability to move without the ball, create some good floor spacing, but just move with purpose, right? I mean, the biggest thing that I see from Indiana, they just don't have a lot of purpose with what they do out on the floor offensively or defensively. Seems like they go through the motions a lot. And, you know, I really do think the inconsistencies this year, right, through 24, 25 games have to fall on the coaching staff and the lack of leadership that they've brought to this team. Hanging too much on the players, and you know, sometimes Mike Woodson calling out his players, which is fine, I'm all for that, but you can't continue to do that in early mid-February, right? This team is who they are at this point. They were who they were, you know, who they are probably 2-3 weeks ago, and I just don't think the coaching staff has done a good enough job being reactionary and trying to adapt to what they have on the floor, and almost trying to fit, you know, a square peg kind of into a round hole type thing. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. And of course, we'll talk about coaching into Big Ten now. We'll go to that. Chris Holtmann the other day was let go at Ohio State. He had, what, 3 or 4 great years? He had a year and a half of bad years. He didn't get to have 2 full bad years before they got him out of there. Did that firing surprise you, Alec?
I think it surprised me in terms of the timing. Not so much that he was going to be gone. I mean, again, last year they did the exact same thing, a second half of the season collapse, right? And you can't have that with, you know, they had some of the same players, but, you know, they brought in a decent amount of new additional pieces that you can't hang it on the players at that point anymore. And it was the way that they were losing some of these games. I mean, getting absolutely run off the floor against some mediocre Big Ten opponents is not going to do you any well when it comes to trying to save your job, especially in February. So I think it was more so the timing of everything with, again, 5 or 6 games left to do that. And I believe Ohio State's getting a new athletic director after this season. And I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I saw a report that it was the current AD who made this decision to get rid of Chris Holtmann now, instead of it being the new AD who I think they do have a person waiting. I may be inaccurate on that, but
yeah, I think they do. Yeah.
Isn't it kind of like cutting your own throat? I mean, if I understand correctly, all these players on the Ohio State team now can go into portal early because of the coaching change. So, I mean, Ohio State just shot themselves in the foot, I would think. If you got a new athletic director and a new coach coming in, they're going to lose a lot of that team in this day and age, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of to begin with, they were probably going to lose a lot of those pieces, especially, you know, like a Bruce Thornton or a Roddy Gale, a guy who, you know, two guys who have been there now for a couple of years and seen the exact same thing, you know, happen back-to-back seasons. My biggest thing is, right, I mean, you're most likely not going to go for a guy who is out of coaching, right? You're going to look for someone who is either at a, you know, high major program or one of the hot names on the mid-major market. And you can't do anything until the season ends. So you're not giving it to an assistant coach, right? So it just, the timing just really, I didn't understand it. And I think, again, that's the biggest thing that what was the head scratching moment for me. I think everyone knew he was gone, but just not February, 14th.
I would say this though, Alec, if he's getting rid of, or if they're getting rid of him right now, it may be something we have no clue about, and we'll never have a clue about why they wanted him out right away, which would be my guess, because it doesn't make any sense to do it any other way. So Juwan Howard's got to be gone, right?
I mean, you would think this is
the suicide watch list. Here we go.
it doesn't even look like he enjoys. I mean, I guess you can't really enjoy anything with what's going on in Ann Arbor right now this year. But it just doesn't look like he enjoys being on the sidelines. The whole, him coming back, being a pseudo assistant for a couple games to start the season. Then I think he got, they were down in the Bahamas, I think, and was ejected because he was one of the assistant coaches, but couldn't talk to the refs. And he's just been a huge distraction this year. It's just been obviously a season that a lot of Michigan fans want to forget. But I guess it's a lot easier to do that when on the other end of the spectrum, you just come off of winning a national championship for football. So I don't think too many fans are too worried about basketball at the moment. And I think that may be the one saving grace for him if he does want to come back. I think at the end of the day, this will be more of a him decision than Michigan, but very tricky, similarly to Indiana, right, where you have one of your all-time greats coaching and things just aren't the way that a lot of people thought they would be. It's a very delicate rope to walk across.
Well, and the thing is, he was a guy that was basically an NBA coach. So I still, could you get, I asked everybody that's on the show this, could you give me one NBA coach that transitioned to college and it worked?
I mean, I guess you could kind of say, but he started in college with Fred Hoiberg, right? I mean, went to college.
That's my NBA point, though. He started in college.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, no, you really can. I mean, it's especially now, totally different world than what it was, even 5 years ago with NIL, with the transfer portal, with everything like that. It's, I think you really have to have a guy who knows the college game. And if he doesn't, right, you have to surround yourself with guys who have been proven at the assistant coach level for numerous years and more than just recruiting guys. Because I think that's, one thing that a lot of coaches think are the only things that matter, just surrounding themselves with good recruiters and being able to figure stuff out at the end.
Shut up, Robert. We don't want Patino. He'll get the secretaries pregnant and everything else. It'll be horrible.
So what's your take, Alex, on the rest of the season for IU? We got, what, 6 or 7 games left? What's your crystal ball?
I mean, I don't think you can really, go into any game the remainder of this season and truly – feel confident that they'll come out with a win. I mean, Northwestern, Nebraska, the next two at home, right? Those, if you're looking at two where you're like, you got to win, right? I would say those two, both at home. Then you have a, a third game here coming up at home against Wisconsin and a team that's obviously struggled significantly over the last 2-3 weeks. And then you end with a home game right on senior night against Michigan State, who's been extremely inconsistent, but seemed to have kind of found a little bit of a spark here over the last month. But I mean, you listen to the players, you listen to Mike Woodson talk, and it's all about defending home court. But at the end of the day, right, you can only do that so long and still be a threat in any sort of potential conference race or in any sort of away game. And it's disappointing to see the lack of success on the road in Mike Woodson's tenure. I mean, this goes beyond this season, their inability to win on the road. And I mean, specifically this year, right, where their 10 losses have come by an average of 15.7 points per game. So, I mean, in the losses, even at home, they're struggling to stay competitive. But most of those have obviously come on the road or at some sort of neutral site environment. But
it's because most of the better teams they've played have been on the road. Because I think if you bring all those teams to Indiana, they're probably going to beat us in a similar way. I mean, I don't see where Indiana has a huge home court advantage when you got the balcony pretty much empty the last few games.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you bring in, I think it was telling, right? This was the first time when covering the team for the last four or five years here that I've been at a game inside of Assembly Hall, and I've seen fans leave with still about 4 minutes left at that Penn State game. That was, you know, telling to me where the fan base is as a whole, where, again, the game was probably out of reach at that point, still about 15-16 point game. But when the fans started to get up and leave, and it was a vast majority of them leave at right at the under four timeout, I mean, I think that showed where this fan base's frustration was. But I mean, if you're looking at the rest of the season, I think you probably, you know, you win one, you lose one, kind of flip-flop going into that Michigan State game at the end of the season.
Yeah, as Baylon Gardner says in Calgary, he says maybe three more wins. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but that's my gut feeling. I would say 2 to 3 wins, and then I hope they do not play in the NIT. I really don't want to go to the NIT.
You want them to do a North Carolina from last year.
It worked for North Carolina because they're pretty good this year now, but I don't see. I know you get to practice extra with the NIT, but this is not like it was 5 or 10 years ago because half that team's going to be gone anyways. And the excuse that really pisses me off, and Brian, you've used it before, but almost every Indiana fan I know has, well, they've got a completely different team. They lost 70% of their scoring. Who else has done that? And there's a lot of teams that have done that are winning. I mean, Kentucky lost everybody. They're averaging 90 a game. Utah State lost everybody. Last I looked, they were like 17-3. So I don't think that excuse works anymore, Brian, because that's what it's going to be every year for almost everybody.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, I think the focus was we didn't get the guards like we wanted, and we didn't throw the net wide enough to get anybody else. I think that's the big mistake. If you want to point the finger at Woody on that, I agree.
You have to point the finger at the coaching staff on everything because it's right. All their fault because that's the way it is.
As I said, and I'll keep saying it, you know, to me, this year, we come out the transfer portal, he better throw a wide net and get a lot of good quality guards. They don't have to be, you know, five stars, but for God's sake, get guys that can move and can shoot. And that's really what they
need. One guy that could play point guard would be really cool too. Yeah. Just
that reminds me. Alex, have you heard anything? It was really hot there for a while and it got really quiet. Daquan Davis, isn't that his name? The guy who was decommitted from Providence. Have you heard anything on him?
Yeah, and I mean, things seem to be kind of from everyone around the country. I mean, he's taken a couple visits here since he reopened that recruitment. But Indiana's been down to see him. Mike Woodson has a few times. I think it's more of a wait and see. If it were me, I would take him in a heartbeat. He's the type of player that you need. And again, this could literally just be a one year thing with, again, all these players. So why not take that risk? Because obviously what you've been doing in the past hasn't been paying off. I mean, you look at all the guards that Mike Woodson's brought in, and they just have not panned out the way that a lot of people obviously hoped or expected for, outside of Jalen Hutchinson. But you can't get any worse in the production than what they had this season. You got to go out and get a guy who's going to bring high energy, has a high motor, super tough player. And that's exactly what you have in him. He's morphed into a much better all around offensive player as well, but he's a, you know, defense kind of grinded out player that you hate to play against. And that's what Indiana needs. And we'll see where that goes. I think it, at this point, it's still a name to monitor, but probably not one to have it at the forefront of your mind.
Well, I just asked because I know when he first decommitted, everybody was, I think, on three, had him for like 90% chance of going to Bayou, and then it just, everything got quiet and dropped after that. And I have not, I saw that he was at Georgia Tech and I think Florida State he's gotten offers from, but I haven't heard nothing else. So,
yeah, it's still kind of a wait and see. I think it seems like a lot of schools are not going 2 feet in yet with him. Someone obviously eventually has to. I would love to see Indiana do that because, again, you need multiple guards, multiple versatile guards, and that's what he has. He's improved drastically as a shooter as well this season. So again, it can't hurt for kind of a 1 year stint and see what happens after that.
Are you in the boat that Mbako is not going to go pro this year?
I don't. I think that's a 50-50 kind of coin flip. I don't think he came in with the expectation of obviously wanting to stay 2 years. I think even if he just had an average start to the season that first month, I think it'd be a no-brainer that he would have left. But I think there's still a lot of questions around, you know, what he is, and I think a large portion of that is the way that Indiana's played him. So again, I would love to see him come back, play him at the four.
And Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but I think Brian means, do you expect him to leave IU and to transfer a portal for another college?
I don't think so. I think there'd be way too many. I mean, obviously he'd be a guy that a lot of teams would go after, but I don't think that would help him because it would probably take, you know, another probably month into the regular season next year to keep up with, you know, even if it's an offensive or defensive scheme, system, whatever the case may be. I think he needs a little continuity. And I think he just needs a positional change. And I think, again, if you're Indiana, I think you really, really try to get him back by saying, hey, we're going to play you at the four, give you a little bit more room to operate there on the perimeter and take two bodies, you know, from that are inside the paint and make it a lot more of a four round one aspect. Cause I think it's the best way to utilize his skill set, but we'll see obviously what happens. I think it's a coin flip, but I could see him going pro and trying to sneak in because he'll probably test well in the NBA combine. I assume he would be a name that a lot of teams would be high on and at least bringing to the combine. And I think he'd be someone who tests very well in individual workouts, but maybe not a true systematic fit for a lot of teams in college.
All right. Before we wrap it up, Brian, you got anything else?
No, I've been doing most of the talking here at the end. I was going to let you take over.
Well, I thought I did most of the talking at the start, so I was trying to be courteous. So we get up the show, you don't say, why the hell are you asking all the questions? But Alec, you want to tell everybody where they can find your stuff on the internet?
Yeah, absolutely. So HoosierIllustrated.com, everything from, you know, Indiana football, basketball, women's side of things, obviously doing a phenomenal job over there with Terry Morin, but that's where you can find me. And then on Twitter at AL Lassley, LASLEY there. So everything Indiana Athletics.
Yeah. And the bad thing, this is one thing I've never seen before though. We're almost to March and right now there's more buzz about Indiana college football than there is Indiana college basketball.
Yeah.
And I think for really good reason here.
It should be a fun fall for Indiana football. But yes, that is.
Have you been around Coach Sig yet? Personally,
just in person in one press conference, but outside of that, everything's been conducted over Zoom and stuff. So, I mean, still his personality, as you guys have seen, it's pretty crazy when it comes to even just over video. But when it's in person, he exudes the same amount of confidence that he does over video.
All right, guys. And you can find Brian Moore at BK Moore on X. Make sure you check out the Got Woodson Facebook page. You can follow me on X at Grueling Truth. Make sure you click on the link for BetMGM if you want to bet on the game this weekend. No point spread for it yet, but I'm hoping that the point spread is like 9 or 10 points again. I might bet Indiana then with the one extra guy. Yeah. I don't know. I've stayed away from Indiana. I know the Purdue game Alec was talking about, they came out and played really well the first 5 or 6 minutes. I'm thinking, damn, I should have taken the 18 points. 5 minutes later, I'm thinking about going on and actually giving 20. So things went bad right away. Also, guys, if you're watching this right now, tonight, the NFL show will do the Super Bowl recap with NFL beat writer Dan Kornhauser. Make sure you check that out. We will be here Sunday after the game. Make sure you check me and Brian out there. But definitely go to Hoosier Illustrated. Follow Alec. But for now, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. For Alec, Brian, I'm Mike Goodpasture. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.